I'd like to look at this reading on Good Shepherd Sunday by beginning and saying, perhaps this title, What Did He Call Me? What did the Lord call me? He called us a sheep. And you ought to get a little indignant with me for a minute. Come on. He didn't compare us to the mighty lion or to the beautiful gazelle or to the swift horse. He called us sheep. Sheep. And so it would be good for us to spend a little time just meditating on, first of all, the sign of the sheep. What does it mean when the Lord calls us his sheep? Now, I want to say to you that there are some negative qualities we could look at that we just need to wear. But there's also some very positive qualities about sheep. So let's look at a few negative ones and also a few positive ones. First of all, I want to just say to you that sheep are wayward animals. They're wayward. In other words, they tend to stray. And they tend to wander off. You know, if it isn't for the care of the shepherd, the sheep just starts grazing and moving along and looks up and says, "Where am I?" And, you know, sheep need the watchful care of the shepherd and usually some sheepdogs to kind of run around and keep them in the pen. And, you know, we might say, well, the local bishop is the shepherd. He's got the staff, amen? I'm one of the sheepdogs, all right? Running around on the edge, keeping us all inside, amen? So again, you see though, sheep are wayward animals. They tend to stray. Well, what about us? The Bible says in Isaiah 53, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Now just look around at the empty pews. Hello? Talk about some straying sheep are out there, amen? In fact, the statistics say that 75% of Catholics don't go to Mass. That means they're out there straying, see? So we tend to stray. And we need the care of a shepherd to unite us, to call us, to search for us. One of the things we need to do as a parish is get back into the next, in the fall, we need to refocus our efforts on getting back into the neighborhood and meeting some of our neighbors. And I'm going to be out this afternoon at 5 o'clock at the corner of Bladensburg and Maryland Avenue and H Street, right there at the old Heckinger Mall. And I'm going to be there with about 10 other people, and we're going to do some sidewalk ministry for about an hour. We're going to try to meet some of God's people, and some of them are straying sheep. Amen. And we need to exercise the shepherd's voice, call them once again back to the flock. So again, we simply will say that at the end of the day, we tend to be wayward like sheep. Now the next thing I want you to notice is that sheep aren't just wayward, they're witless. Sheep are not too bright. You know, you can train a horse, you can train a dog, you can even train a lion. But the old sheep, jump sheep, ooh, you know, they can't train a sheep at all. Sheep are just not that bright. They're just not smart animals. Now, you say, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm smart, and we human beings are awful smart. We've been to the moon and back, and, you know, we've done all kinds of stuff. You know, we got these computer things, and, you know, that's all technical smarts. But, you know, we have a hard time even following the simplest directions from God. You know? We have the hardest time, and we have the hardest time understanding. You know, I'm amazed. People can know a lot about football, and really down into the deep statistics. So folks know a lot about their career. Folks, we can get smart about certain things. But when it comes to faith, an awful lot of people are not that smart. They can't figure out where to find the four Gospels, and they don't know even basic truths of the faith. And these are people who are out there with careers, who are leaders in the community. So it's a kind of an interesting thing. We have some technical smarts, but at the end of the day, We don't have the kind of intelligence at times that we really need about things that are eternal. You know, the Lord said, sadly, he said that the children of men are wise and crafty in things of the world, but not in things of the kingdom. And so it is that sheep are witless. They're not all that bright. Now, I won't say that's true of every one of us here. I'm just going to say it's our tendency to get all into things that are passing away and things that are going to not last, and we have not a clue about the more important things that will last forever. So that's not too smart. Are you praying with me? We get all worked up about passing things, but things that last, things that really matter, I don't know. You know, and we're not that concerned. Not only are sheep wayward and witless, but you know, church, sheep are weak. You know, the cat can claw, and the lion can roar and chase, and the horse can swiftly get out of the way, but the old sheep just stands there and gets killed when the wolf comes. Are you praying with me? Sheep need the protection of a shepherd. Sheep need the protection of the sheepdogs. Sheep need to be protected. Now, woe to the Christian who is not under the care, the watchful care of a shepherd. We are very weak. The devil can easily get to us. The Bible says, be sober and alert. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling like a lion, seeking souls to devour. You say, we're so weak. The slightest temptation can draw us away to life-changing sinfulness. We need to be under the watchful care of a shepherd. The watchful care. You know, I just made a little note here. You know, we think again, we're powerful. We human beings. You know, we amass armies. We amass political power and monetary power and star power. It all gives us the illusion that we're strong. But then the slightest temptation comes along and we just fall like dominoes. Are you praying with me? See, again, we like sheep we tend to be weak. So we see that we're wayward, and we see that we're a bit witless, and we're a bit weak. On the other hand, let's look at some positive qualities about sheep. You know, sheep are worthwhile animals. In the ancient world, and even to this day, sheep provide a lot of things. Sheep are valuable animals. You know, they provide milk, and they provide meat and wool, and they're valued animals. And people spend a lot of time and care watching over sheep. Shepherds often give their lives to keep their eye on the sheep because these are valued animals. And so you see, you and I, we're valuable to the Lord. When he says that we're his sheep, he doesn't just mean that we're weak and witless and wayward. He also means we're worthwhile. Hello? We're worth watching over and caring for and even dying for. Are you praying with me? So sheep are worthwhile animals. And something else about sheep that's pretty smart. Sheep walk together. They flock. They hang out together. You know, the Bible says, woe to the solitary man. If he falls, he has no one to pick him up. But again, you see, so sheep have the smarts about them. They tend to flock together. They tend to stay. Now, every now and again, sheep will get wayward. But the basic instinct of a sheep is to say, I need to walk together with others. And so, again, are we as smart as a sheep, we human beings? See? We need to learn to stay together with the flock. There's this attitude today, I can just go on off and have my own relationship with Jesus somewhere else. And church, you can't have Jesus without the church. Some folks want to have Jesus without the church. No can do. Jesus has members of his body. Jesus is not just in a solitary relationship with you. Jesus is in a relationship with all the members of his body. And he, the head, takes care of the whole church. And so we need to learn to flock together. Are you praying with me? And then the other final thing I want to do, and this will lead us then to the next section of the homily. Sheep are wary. They're wary animals. There's something about a sheep. Let me read to you something that Jesus said in John's Gospel. Whoever enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, and to him the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls to his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from a stranger, because they do not know the voice of a stranger. Now that's pretty smart. Knowing who your shepherd is, and only following that shepherd? Are you praying with me? That's pretty smart, isn't it? You might wonder, in the ancient world, they would have these fenced-off areas where all the different shepherds would bring their flocks at night. They would all mingle together. But in the morning, how did the sheep know how to separate out? And how did the shepherd know which were my sheep from the others? He didn't have to worry about that. He'd just stand there and go, la, 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 la. All the sheep who recognized their shepherd's voice would run to him, and the others would fall back in fear. That's not my shepherd. The ones who heard his voice would run after him. Are you praying with me? Now that's kind of smart, isn't it? Are we that smart? Ha. Jesus says, hey, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's nice, Jesus. I'm over here watching TV just now. Do you mind listening to some other shepherd's voice? We'll listen to anyone about anything. It's amazing to me how many even faithful Christians we'll just listen to almost anything on the television. I mean,
well, it said on the History Channel, blah, 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 blah. It says on the news last night, da, 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 da.
And then they come into church and they're like, I don't know about that. Suddenly becoming cynical and doubtful and stroking their chin and thinking, I don't know about that. That's kind of an old-fashioned Bible verse there. Doesn't comport with my modern thinking. They'll listen to the news guy all day long and say, whatever he says is true. And they open up and they hear from the Bible or the preacher, like, I don't know about that. You know, you see what I'm saying? Sheep know their shepherd. They know his voice. They listen only to his voice. And they run from any voice contrary. That's smart. Some of us aren't even as smart as a sheep. So it is. Now, again, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a critical thinking faculty. I'm not saying you shouldn't say, well, how is this so? And explain more to me, I want to know. But it's a trusting questioning rather than a cynical, doubtful questioning, where we'll listen all day long to unbiblical stuff, and then suddenly the Bible sounds strange. All right, you get the point. And that leads us then, you see, we've seen the sign of the sheep. I want you to next notice then just a couple other quick points. And that is, first of all, the next of all, the safety of the sheep. The safety. Now, the text here says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And no one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take out of the Father's hand. So you notice here, there is a promise to the sheep of safety. There's a promise. But listen, everything I've just said to you is an important understanding of how we stay safe in the shepherd's care. Now pay attention. You know, you think of an ancient city, and all the ancient cities had walls. And if you lived in that city, you were protected by those walls. But at the end of the day, if you walked out of those walls and walked on out into the neighboring woods or something like that, you were not guaranteed the safety of the city. You got to stay inside the walls to have the protection. You got the point? A lot of folks say, well, why is there some bad stuff that went on in my life? And how come this and how come that? And a lot of times, I'm not saying all the time, but I'm just going to say a lot of times, because people walk way out beyond the walls of the city. They walk beyond the shepherd's care. You see, we have the protection of the shepherd so long as we stay within his protective care. But if we start getting wayward and we start moving beyond, all bets are off. All bets are off. And the shepherd will come looking for us.
But at the end of the day, if you don't want to base your life and listen to his voice and base your life on what he says, and if the shepherd says, we're going to the next meadow, and you go with him, you got the safety. But if you say, I don't want to go to that meadow, I want to go to this other place, all bets are off. The safety of the sheep is contingent on whether the sheep will listen to the shepherd, heed his voice, and base their life on what he teaches. Now, you know, an awful lot of suffering today is rooted in a lack of obedience. Now, let me give you a quick example. In Bible study, we're talking a lot about some of the controversial teachings of the church. We talked a little bit this past week about some of the sexual teachings of the church and even contraception. Now listen, I'm just going to tell you, an awful lot of trouble came into our modern culture when we started buying into the contraceptive mentality, which says there is no necessary connection between sex and procreation. And that's a lie. Sex and procreation are meant to be together, along with love and along with pleasure. But all three of them are supposed to be together. And you start disconnecting and taking certain things and setting it aside, and you get into trouble. Now listen, contraceptives became available in the last 50 or so, 60 years, widely available in our culture. And what's happened? Church, our families are in the shredder. Divorce has skyrocketed, promiscuity has skyrocketed, sexually transmitted diseases have skyrocketed, teenage pregnancy, single mothers, cohabitation, a lot of bad behavior. An awful lot of abortions have skyrocketed, our babies are being killed, and endless problems come when we start playing around with God's gift of sexuality and trying to redefine it. And then we redefine marriage. Marriage is no longer necessarily about children. Its basic structure is all about children. That a husband should cling to his wife and the two of them should become one flesh and have a stable, good, firm nest and foundation because they're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. The structure of marriage is all about what's best for children. But we threw all that in the shredder. And now again, now we start to wonder, well, then why does the gay community say, well, you mean marriage is just about two adults being happy for however long they feel like it? What do we have to say to them? We've been redefining marriage in the heterosexual community for over 50 years. We sow the wind, we reap the whirlwind. Now, I say all this to you because an awful lot of problems have come. When I was born in 1961, in the African-American community, 80% of children were raised in a two-parent family. Now, 18%. Are you praying with me, church? Now, that's not good for children. Now, listen, please, I'm glad that some of you are heroically raising children under bad and difficult circumstances. But at the end of the day, we collectively in America have the wheels have come off. We do not enjoy the protection of the shepherd because we're saying, I don't like, get your Bible out of my bedroom. Get your rosaries off my ovaries. You know, listen, church, we can't have this rebellious attitude and then expect to have the protection of the shepherd. We've got to obey him. We've got to listen to him. And even in these difficult teachings regarding human sexuality, our world has gone in a very different direction than most of us who are older remember. I'm not saying people lived perfectly in the old days. I'm just going to say that we had more sensibility about right and wrong. And you can't go on, we can't go on going in a different direction from the shepherd and have our back to the shepherd and then expect to go on enjoying the safety of the flock. And so the Lord says here, listen. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And then he says, it goes on to say, I know them, they follow me, and no one can take them out of my hand. So again, if we want the protection of the shepherd, we have to be willing to listen to his voice. Now, I just talked about one area, sexuality, but there's all kinds of other stuff. Church, you go on in greed, and you're heading for trouble. You're heading for headaches. You're heading for bills that you can't pay. You're heading for all kinds of financial headaches and fears. Greed is a terrible thing. And the Lord says, don't do that. And yet we say, well, I'll do it anyway. And we won't look at it. Or lack of forgiveness. You know, we can't go on seeking wrath and destruction of other people who hurt us and think we're following the shepherd. And all that does is escalate violence and create all kinds of heartache, fears, and problems in the world. So you see, church, if we will stay within the shepherd's teachings, individually and collectively, we enjoy his protection. But if we will not, we sow the wind and we will reap the whirlwind. And so the Lord is simply saying to us, I want to be your shepherd. But that means something. It isn't just a nice little song that you sing. If I'm going to be your shepherd, that means you're going to follow me. That means you're going to listen to my voice. And you're going to say, that's not my shepherd's voice, and run. And you're going to hear my voice and run toward me, rather than fold your arms and say, I don't know about that. And so you see the vision? The Lord is saying, I've got something to offer you. I want to give you safety. I want to give you a greater degree of happiness. But you've got to let me be your shepherd. Being your shepherd means something. And a final thought then the Lord gives us is, we've seen the sign of the sheep. We've seen the safety of the sheep. Finally, there is the salvation of the sheep. The Lord simply says, look, here's my promise to you. I give you eternal life and you'll never perish. Church, it isn't just follow me because I'm in charge. Follow the rules because otherwise I'll punish you. It's the opposite. It's follow me so that I can give you life. Real life. Life that you're not all worried about bills you can't pay and worried about having all this, you know, the confusion that comes from sexual confusion. He wants an orderly, peaceful structure for us to live within, and he's offering it to us. But ultimately, what he's saying, I want to give you eternal life. Now listen, eternal life is not just what happens after you die. Eternal life begins now, if we will listen to the Lord. Eternal life doesn't just mean the length of life. Eternal life means the fullness of life. The fullness of life. Church, I'm a witness that to the degree that I've learned to follow the shepherd's voice more clearly, to the degree that I'm leaving sin behind and embracing more and more virtues, I want you to know I am more alive at age 51 than I ever was at 21, and I give God all the glory. My body is perhaps heading south, but my soul is alive and joyful. My life is simpler. I'm less anxious and concerned. I'm sleeping the sleep of the just. I'm not all worried about what I've done and what'll happen. My life is simple. It's orderly. It's increasingly filled with joy and structure. My mind is getting clearer. My priorities are getting better. Church, I love the Lord. And I know he loves me. And he said, listen, Charles Pope, you listen to me. Start screening out all those other shepherds. And you listen only to me. And start following me. And stop making compromises with what I teach. Just say it plain. And I want you to follow me. And Charles Pope, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you safety, first of all. But I'm also going to give you salvation. I'm going to give you eternal life. The fullness of life. And Charles Pope, it doesn't wait until you're dead. It starts now. I hear some other witnesses in here, all right? That to the degree that we try to leave, by God's grace, sin behind and follow only the shepherd, our life is getting more alive, simpler, our life is getting clearer. And so it is. This is the Lord's promise. I want you to let me be your shepherd. Will you let me be your shepherd? I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to be one of his disciples. Oh, just let me be a follower of Christ. And the Lord said, if you will let me be your shepherd, I promise you safety. I promise you a simpler, clearer, better life. I don't promise you that there'll be no suffering. I'm just going to say, you will enjoy my protection. And I promise you, finally this, eternal life, the fullness of life that starts now and opens wide the day you die. Follow me, says the Lord. I'm your shepherd. Amen. Amen.